just wanted to come back to one more thing in regards to the sword belonging to the spirit. And so I wanted to talk about a specific attack from Satan. And we talked about this before when we went through those months and months ago. But I wanted to touch on this one more time in light of discussing the sword belonging to the spirit. And it has to do with laziness and spiritual things. The word laziness or idleness in spiritual things. And so I don't anticipate a real long message today. I do have something prepared where if I wanted to go long, I could go long because I could, but I haven't decided yet on that. So. But we're in this series and we're talking about the adversary, the devil, and specific attacks that come from him and his demons. And, you know, the believer has everything by grace in order to resist this spiritual enemy and these specific attacks. And when we look at 1 Peter 5:8, we can see something about Satan's or the devil's methods, because it tells us that he walks about as a roaring lion. It's interesting that, you know, Peter was born along to use that description in 1 Peter 5:8. Let me read it, then we'll comment on it more. Because just in light of everything that's going on in our environment in the world right now, I think it's important to keep this in mind. And so, of course, Peter says, be sober, be vigilant. You know, and we've talked about that translation, the idea of be sober, be clear-minded, and then vigilant, be alert, be on the watch. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, so he uses this from nature, it's this similarity, as a roaring lion walks about seeking whom he may devour. And so when we look at nature and we see a roaring lion who walks about, you know, that is a method a lion uses that typically produces fear, fear and anxiety. You know, when we have anxiety, you know, care in this context. So what is the response in the subjects that are made to have anxiety or fear? Well, I would suggest that fear and anxiety causes the subject to seek relief, from those emotions, from those feelings. How does that affect the lion's prey? You know, well, if the prey is seeking to relieve that fear, they're going to be acting without thinking or on the basis of the fear. And so what happens when prey do that, when they just act from fear? Well, the prey may make mistakes. They may make mistakes operating out of fear. Well, Satan, and we see the devil, he operates in a similar way, as a similar to a roaring lion. He walks about seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for prey that may make a mistake. There's going to be seeking relief from this fear or anxiety, but they may do so. If we're talking, we relate to this as a Christian, you do this outside the provisions of grace. Now you're going to be very susceptible to specific attacks from Satan. And so, you know, when you look at this, you know, fear and anxiety can produce an environment where the believer is more susceptible to the mental attacks from Satan. If we're operating out from fear as a source of our behavior, we are going to be less logical in our mental thinking. And so, in other words, let me put this in a different way. Satan is able to manipulate circumstances and situations. He's the ruler of the world system. We see this a lot in what's going on right now. It's interesting to me how we keep seeing these waves of fear that are being propagated. And then there's a calm. And then, you know, then there's a new variant. And, you know, it's like there's waves of ever increasing, I don't want to be too political, but I'll call it propaganda for people to fear. And one of the things that as a Christian we need to be aware of is that if we're operating from that basis, we could be allowing Satan to use circumstances to soften up the believer to his specific attacks. Now, I'm going to use an illustration because everybody likes a good boxing illustration, right? And so if you think of circumstances that Satan is producing in the world system. Now, if we go to boxing, if you know what body blows are, body blows. Well, you know, body blows in boxing are where the aggressor is directing shots at the body. Now, there's a goal in this. It's to bring down the defenses, to lower the defenses from protecting the head. Body blows are very successful at doing that in boxing. Just like circumstances in the world system can be effective in the believer lowering his defenses of protecting his mind. And so, you know, body blows also tend to, in boxing, tend to take the steam out of the subject. Where circumstances can do the same thing. They can kind of wear you out. And so we've got to be careful that we're not neglecting defending our thinking by whatever's going on out in the world system. And so anyway, it's always good to fit in a boxing or a fishing or a football illustration, right? And so I see some people shake their head, so I'll take that as a yes. You know, you could think of, a military phrase you may have heard is preparing the battlefield. In D-Day, before they landed, before they tried to create a beachhead, the Allies bombarded those beaches to prepare the battlefield, to soften them up before the attack. Well, our adversary can use circumstances and situations similarly to the believer to soften us up, to hit us with body blows for us to lower our defenses, and then we can become more susceptible to his specific attacks. Now, keep in mind in the Christian life, as I use these different illustrations, but in the Christian life, the battlefield is the mind. The battlefield is with the mind. And so that's where we need to, you know, keep our defenses focused. And if we're getting hit with body blows, if we are discerning that the adversary is trying to prepare the battlefield, we need to recognize where that battlefield is. It's in the mind. It's the mind. I believe the devil, he tries to prepare the battlefield through circumstances. And he's preparing the battlefield for his specific attacks that he uses in the realm of the believer's rational thinking. Remember how he attacks, it's different from the sin nature. The sin nature is going to war against the soul. Satan is... he's interested and he attacks through one's rational thinking. You can see how fear then would prepare the battlefield for one of his specific attacks, because fear limits our rational thinking. So anyway, just some things to keep in mind. I think it's important as we are experiencing these things that God's allowing to take place in the world. You know, Satan is busy. Satan's throwing a lot of body blows right now through his world system. And we want to make sure we're aware of how this process works so we can discern when we might be under attack, because we have the specific defense. It's all right there. So as part of our salvation, we have the potential to resist this spiritual enemy and to have success in resisting him. That's grace. Every believer has that potential. So there's no problem with the provision, the armor from God, the empowerment in the, in the Lord. The problem comes in the realm of discerning when we may be under attack, and then the proper employment of the defense. And so that's important to consider. And so, we know we have a specific defense, and that's found in Ephesians 6, and that gives us the details of how we're going to defend against the attacks from the devil or his demons. So I want to come back. I want to talk specifically about the attack of laziness or idleness in spiritual things. I could have probably tied this one in. It may have gone side by side with cowardice. Also, could be another way somebody could put themselves on the sideline, from doing the things that God would have them to do. But I'm gonna come back specifically to this attack. So let's pray, and we'll take a look at a few things. Father, we do thank you for the day. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the provisions of grace, and we just pray your spirit would continue to build us up, encourage us through your word and our time together. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. So I'm not going to do a big review on, how we get to the sword belonging to the spirit. I've done that many, many times, so this isn't probably a great message for to just jump in if you haven't been following along in some of the other parts of the series. But, by the time we get to the sword belonging to the spirit, if that's where we are in Ephesians 6, we've already fully garrisoned the mind and the thoughts with the previous parts of the armor from God, so that we've already put on the other aspects of the armor by that time we get to the sword belonging to the spirit. And so we've put on the other aspects of the armor from God. We've already made sure we're empowered in our position in the Lord and in the might of his strength. And so when we're talking about the sword belonging to the Spirit, we're talking about utterances of God. And these utterances would be short sayings and found in the Word of God. And as we look at those as something that the Holy Spirit can use in the believer's mind, these utterances of God would be those parts of Scripture that would be thoughts or utterances that would counteract specific attacks from the devil. And so the Holy Spirit is the one that uses these in the mind of the believer. And remember, the mind of the believer is the battlefield. We've talked about that. That's where the battlefield is. And so the sword belonging to the Spirit is something that the Spirit is going to use in the mind of the believer. That's the battlefield. And so we've been referencing a handout that Pastor Dave made that's called Examples of Utterances that the Holy Spirit Can Use in Specific Satanic Attacks. And I did get an email this week, and I think it was showing me that this is something that's been made available online. Is that right? And so that is available now. And so you can go online and you can copy that down. And so Pastor Dave created this list of examples of utterances that the Holy Spirit can use. And so what he does is he lists specific attacks that come from Satan or the devil or his demons. And then you have examples of scriptures that could actually be used that would relate to those specific attacks. The Holy Spirit could use them to counteract those thoughts. And we've suggested that you not only have this, but you also add to this. As you add to this from scripture, as you go through scripture, you can keep these in mind. And you're essentially given the Holy Spirit ammunition, you know, by having this kind of list or expanding this list. And so that's always, it's always a good thing. Now we've covered a number of these when we've got to the sword belonging to the Spirit, not all of them. I just wanted to cover a number of them that can be subtle or common, things that can kind of sneak in there and become attitudes as well. And so there was one more that I wanted to come back and touch on, as I mentioned, is laziness in spiritual things. And so the idea of laziness, it comes from the word that has the idea to be idle, to be idle. And so laziness in spiritual things, as it comes from, as a thought from a demon or the devil, it's a thought where there's an idleness in the things that the believer should be doing by faith. And so, you know, as Christians, we want to be walking through faith, and, you know, not through sight. And so, you know, this thought that can come from the adversary, it's a thought that can encourage the believer to neglect the things that God would have the believer to do. And that idleness could come also, it could include idleness in using one's spiritual gift. I think that's important to keep in mind when you think about laziness, or, you know, this is where I could have coupled this with spiritual cowardice, is Satan doesn't want you operating as a spiritual Christian in acting in what God would have you to do, acting in God's will, fulfilling your part in God's plan. God has a role for you in his plan. That's grace. Each one of us as Christians, God has given us a role on the winning team. And we can only fulfill the role on the winning team as according to God's plan, as we're spiritual, as we're in the proper condition to be useful. Satan wants to keep you on the sidelines. He wants to either, and so if he can put a thought in your mind to neglect spiritual things, that you be doing things that you should be doing by faith, and it could be through a number of ways. That's why we could look at spiritual cowardice. We already did that a few weeks back. But it could be laziness, idleness in spiritual things. Now, in scripture, and I'm not going to go back into 1 Timothy for this. We did that back when we looked at that specific attack. But usually when there's idleness in spiritual things, there's activity in other areas. and so keep that in mind. But I wanted to just to touch on this, because each believer has a spiritual gift. Every spiritual gift is important to the body. You know, we talk about the oneness we share in Christ. And in scripture, you know, Paul uses the human body as an illustration of the oneness, right? When he talks about the Christ, and let's go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, Paul's going to use the human body as an illustration here, because it makes it easy for us to understand something that's more complicated, is the spiritual body of Christ with Christ as the head. But we have a physical example in the human body. And so he says, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body. And so we can look at our own human body and we can understand that. We can comprehend that. Yeah, lots of members to the body, yet it's still one body, right? And so we can also understand then, I think, is if, if one member of my body is not healthy, my body doesn't seem too healthy. I could share you an illustration when I was building a pole barn one time and my kids were little toddlers and I was swinging a big heavy hammer as hard as I could because I was driving big nails. And I don't know if I remember this right, but I think one of my little guys grabbed my leg as I was swinging a hammer. And I missed the nail and my thumb got in the way and I was jumping around and running and and you know, by a short while later it looked like I had a probably bigger than it looked like a golf ball on the tip of my thumb. And we had to drill a hole in the nail to drain the blood, and the nail eventually came off. But for a long time, it affected. It felt like it affected my whole body. In other words, the illustration is to demonstrate that when one part of the body is suffering, the other parts suffer as well. And so when it comes to our spiritual gifts, and all of you have a spiritual gift, and that spiritual gift is primarily designed for the building up of the body. And we want all believers, in Christendom, a lot of things have gone the wrong way because in a lot of churches, they allow the pastor to be the CEO and the pastor becomes the pastor teacher becomes the most important spiritual gift, right? And the pastor is the CEO and Christians are allowed to, they go to a prayer meeting and they do a number of the activities and they come and that's their form of participation. And the pastor is doing everything else, but that's not the way the body functions. You know, with the spiritual gifts, we want all Christians to be participating in the building up of the body. That's why it's important for us to physically gather together. It's great when we get together and we all relate to a message from God as somebody presents the word of God. You know, we are sharing thoughts from scripture, so God's thoughts, but we're all relating to those same thoughts at the same time. That's the perfect setup for Christians to fellowship and correctly relate to one another. And a lot of times it's in those little interactions that happened around the word of God that the other gifts can function. And so keep that in mind when you think about the specific attack that can come from the devil or a demon, laziness and spiritual things. If he can take you out with that thought where you take out yourself, well, you can see why he would want to do that. When we're coming, and we talk about the body, we talk about the spiritual gifts. You know, all of the spiritual gifts are equal in the body, and they all have different roles. We can illustrate that in 1 Corinthians 12. Let's just read So in verse 12:20, but now are they many members, yet one body. So now he's talking about spiritual gifts, but he's still using the human body as an illustration here. He says, and the eye cannot say unto the hand, in other words, one member with a different role in the body can't say to another, in this case, he's using the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. All the members are important. All of the spiritual gifts are important. We're trying to operate with some of the spiritual gifts, whatever God has allowed to be in our midst, and we're trying to operate without some of them. That's not a good thing. We want to encourage one another, build each other up so that they're all operating. It's good for all of us. No, he says, by much more, those members of the body which seem to be, more feeble or just weaker, are necessary. And we could go on and on, but you kind of get the idea of what Paul's doing here. And he says, you can see in verse 26, it says, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Well, why is that? Well, that's because of the unity we share. It's one body. And then, and one member be honored, and all the members rejoice with it. We're in this together. We share in this oneness as part of the body of Christ. The spiritual gifts are important, each and every one of them. And so, when we talk about the specific attack from Satan, as it relates to laziness or idleness and spiritual things, that thought could lead to somebody to dismiss the importance of their role in the body and to the health of the oneness of the whole group. So you can see that. And so, I just thought it was something that we needed to be reminded of. This is something that is important to keep in mind. And now Dave has done something for us, and he's given us examples when it comes to the sword belonging to the Spirit, of some scriptures that could be used by the Holy Spirit to counteract some of these things. And so let's go to 2 Peter 1:8. And so if you do have the sheet from Dave, examples of utterances that the Holy Spirit can use in specific satanic attacks, laziness and spiritual things would be number 12 in the list. And so in 2 Peter 1:8, now I don't know whether I should share this or not, but I'm going to keep the message short, so I'm not going to do this, but I had originally intended to expand this context. So if you wanted a homework assignment, some people love homework assignments. So here's a homework assignment, because I'm just going to read 2 Peter 1:8. But there's a lot of fun and truth to be had by looking at, the previous context to this verse. And you could even, I would look at 2 Peter chapter 1, read verses 2 through 9. If you wanted to expand that context, it's full of all kinds of amazing truths and just fun things that relate to our present tense salvation. But let's just take a look at 2 Peter 1:8 as a potential counter thought. And so, for if these things be in you and abound, and so this is where the previous context comes in, because that's going to explain what the previous things are as it relates to present tense salvation. We have the believer who's been given, well, I'll quickly just try and pull a little bit of context, but the believer who's can be a partaker of a quality of the divine nature. We have the believers been given all things that pertain unto life and godliness, spiritual life, and manifesting the quality of God's life through the activity of a human. We have these things that the believer can give diligence to alongside some of these things, you know, adding to their faith a praiseworthy thing and to a praiseworthy thing. Our knowledge, yeah, full experiential knowledge into knowledge, or experiential knowledge, self-control. The word temperance, by the way, in verse 6 is our word for self-control, an aspect of the fruit from the Spirit. So it says, and so add or supply to your experiential knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, patience. Patience, the idea of remaining under. If that's God's will, you're not looking without patience to get out from underneath the circumstance. See, with patience, you can stay focused on remaining under whatever God would have you under. That's what patience is. Now, that patience works out because we don't just get to, always decide how we're going to manifest the life of God, godliness. Sometimes patience is required for things to develop, then at the right time, we're going to be allowed to manifest God's quality of life. So he says, in verse 6, supply to your experiential knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, patience, and to patience, godliness. Sometimes manifesting God's quality of life by activity requires us to be patient. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, agape love. And so the brotherly kindness is just brotherly fondness. And you're going to supply to that agape love, spiritual Christian. Remember, Peter writes from the premise that he's writing to spiritual Christians. Now, when we get to verse 8, he says, and if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren. And that word barren is our Greek word for idle, lazy. You'll be neither barren or idle, nor unfruitful, talking about in spiritual things. And you're not going to be idle nor unfruitful in the full experiential knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now he says in verse 9, but he that lacks these things, lacks these things? But that these things aren't present. He's blind and he cannot see afar off. And he has forgotten that he was purged. The idea of purged is cleansed, that he's in a state of being cleansed from his old sins. And so you can see how, this is encouragement. This whole context is encouragement to not be idle in spiritual things, to be, to bring some effort and some diligence to the matter and some focus. And keep in mind, Satan wants you to be distracted from putting some effort in this area. And so that's a real good reminder, that whole context when it comes to laziness or idleness in spiritual things. Let's take a look at another. Let's go. And so the second one that Dave has in his list is Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus. I want to pause there, because in your English, you see the name. And so I don't want you to be thinking when you see that, do it in and you're thinking that the actual name, Jesus, this is the character. The name carries the concept of character. So whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name, the character of the Lord Jesus. So when you do something in the character of Lord Jesus, who are you manifesting? Is it yourself? Are you showing what you can do? Or are you showing what God can do? That's kind of a rhetorical question. And so here's whatever you do in word or deed, do in the character of the Lord Jesus while giving thanks to God, even the Father, through him. Interesting that you have, and so it says by him, but it's through him. So you have this little positional hint, giving thanks, you know, to the Father, to God, even the Father, through him, through Christ. That's tied to our position in Christ. That happens from the right hand. And we're giving thanks to the Father for this privilege, for this opportunity, to do something in his character. To do that. And so anyway, let me look at just a couple others. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 is a good one. And so these last couple are ones you could add to the list. You may think of some others you would prefer to add, but these are just examples of them. That's one what could be used by the Holy Spirit. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Let's see here. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, the idea of firm ones, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Interesting, the title there, the work of the Lord. It's his work as the head of the body. And so always be abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not vain. And the word vain, we have to look at the Greek, a couple different Greek words that get translated vain. Here it's the Greek word kenos, which means without content, or empty. So here he says, for as much as you know that your labor, and this word labor, this is our word for toil. Sweat and tears. And so your labor, your toil, your sweat and tears, it's not empty. Where? In the Lord. In the Lord. Again, that title emphasizes the member of the body in relationship to the head. And so your labor, your toil, your sweat and your tears, it's not without content in the Lord. I would suggest that that labor outside of your position in the Lord is, in other words, in your own strength, maybe without some content or maybe somewhat useless. And that ultimately will be determined at the banish of judgment, right? But here you see that your labor, your toil is not without content in the Lord. So another good verse, I think, that the Holy Spirit could use in the believer's mind to, counteract the thought of engaging in spiritual idleness. And let's go ahead and we were talking about spiritual gifts. I wanted to tie in spiritual gifts and the importance of that and how this specific attack can, potentially... the believer falls prey to this specific attack, they're going to sideline themselves from using their spiritual gift. Oh, my gift isn't that important. I'm going to join online. And what happens is if a believer is supposed to be here, we may lose out on that one-on-one. And so you can see, how Satan could influence members of the body by, not recognizing the role of spiritual gifts in the larger, in the group. So let's go to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. So when you think of spiritual gifts, I always think spiritual gifts. There's four places in the New Testament if you're going to work spiritual gifts, you want to remember where those are. Does anybody think they know where they are? If I gave you a hint, if I said 12, 12, 4, 4, this is the memory device. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and there's an important 4 that's if we want to show that each one has a spiritual gift, in 1 Peter 4. So I'm just sharing you a little memory device there. So Romans 12, I read this one when we did communion here. Romans 12, 4. He says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. And this Greek word is office, is the idea of practice. It's talking about spiritual gifts. And so all members have not the same practice or function in the body. We all have, potentially there's many members, there's going to be different spiritual gifts, right? And so I wanted to grab that idea from Romans 12, 4. Now let's go to 12, 10. We're going to pick up a little bit about in operation. And so in Romans 12, 10. It says, be kindly affectioned one to another. And so this is to have a brotherly fondness one to another. This is a feeling of fondness, of care, brotherly fondness. This is Philadelphia, by the way. In brotherly fondness to one another with brotherly love. And so let me take a look here. They just reversed them. And so they're both off of roots that have the idea of fondness. And so one is being kind of warmly fond of one another, and then the other one is with brotherly love. I was just reading a Greek text. And then we see the idea of in honor, preferring one another. And so preferring one another at the same time. I mean, this is ultimately where we should be directing our fondness and our brotherly fondness, preferring one another. Now, verse 11, Paul comes to this idea of not slothful. And so I don't know if you've seen any of the nature shows with a sloth. They're not really fast twitch animals. They're not very explosive. They're not going to probably get a lot done at the pace that they move. And so he says, not slothful. The King James says in business. The word in business, it's studē in the Greek, in diligence. Not slothful in diligence. Diligence kind of looks at effort. Diligence, effort. Not slothful in effort, but fervent in spirit. The idea of fervent in spirit is the idea of hot, running hot, burning in spirit. And then we see serving the Lord. And that's really, you know, when we're talking about being active in spiritual matters, not being idle, not being lazy in spiritual things, that ultimately comes down to who we're trying to serve, serving the Lord and here. And so, serving the Lord. Again, that title, interesting. And so, you know, as we think on some of these things, I'm gonna go to one more verse over in Ephesians 5:21, and we have this English word submitted, and the Greek word is hupotasso, being arranged under. And so it's submitting yourselves one to another, being arranged under one to another for benefits in the fear of God. There's a textual problem there. Some the critical text actually has the fear of Christ. But in either case, we have this participle that ties back to the verb of being filled by the Spirit. And so the natural response of a spiritual Christian is to be arranging themselves under one another for benefits in the fear of God. The idea of fear here is fear of disappointing, you know, fear of correctly directing their activity, submitting, being arranged under yourselves one to another for benefits. You know, and that's allowing the spiritual gifts to work and recognizing that every gift is important and every believer has the potential to use their spiritual gift in a way that can benefit the body and can be used of God. And so, you know, I wanted to touch again on that when it comes to that specific attack that can come from the adversary to be lazy or idle in spiritual things. And so, you know, as Christians, we need to, we don't need to be trying to show God what we can do for him. Instead, we need to start manifesting what God has done for us. When we do that and we're living by grace, we're manifesting what God has done for us, we can stay focused on being active in those things that God would have for us and those things that God would have us to do by faith. And so we need to be clear-minded. We need to be continuously alert because the adversary wants us to be idle in these areas. He wants us to be lazy. He wants us to be lazy when it comes to spiritual things. And he will use the circumstances and the situations in the world to provide you a reason or an excuse. And so you've got to be clear-minded and on the alert for that. But do know that you have the specific defense for whenever you encounter this spiritual enemy. Because remember, we're going to do it as we're empowered in the Lord, and we're going to do this in the might of his strength. And as we put on the full armor of God, the battlefield is the mind, and God provides the armor. And if we employ it, we put it on right, we put on the full armor, you know, and when we get to using the sword belonging to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit's going to use that in our mind. And so it's a supernatural thing. And he's going to use this utterance from God to counteract whatever thoughts the adversary has been able to put in our mind. So it's an amazing thing. It's something that we need to be alert to. But the victory is ours in Christ. And so there's no reason for us to move in fear. God has got us completely taken care of. This amazing salvation by grace through faith is being manifested in time, and we can be those that are manifesting what God has done for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. We're thankful for your words. We're grateful for these truths. We're grateful that we have the potential to resist and stand against such a powerful enemy. And we're grateful that we don't have to do this in our own strength and, in our own devices, that we do it as provided by the grace of God and the enablement from the Holy Spirit. And as we employ the proper defense, we know that he will flee. And so we're grateful for that truth. May you continue to build us up as we continue to grow in our experiential knowledge. And we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen.